Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us. We are your people dashboard for all you HR and people leaders at those small and medium companies out there. That's right. We know just because you're a smaller company and you probably don't have a dedicated analyst or somebody that's responsible for reporting and you have to do it yourself, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have the luxury or the privilege to be able to have great data organized in a way where you can tell a solid data-driven story. Well, that's why we created Employee Cycle, your people dashboard that has pre-built integration connectors to the most popular systems that you're all using. That's right. We easily connect with Bamboo HR, Namely, Sapling, Zenefits, Greenhouse, 15.5, Office 5, Glassdoor, all the systems that you would use to want to pull in your data so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your people metrics in one place. Go to employeecycle.com to check it out. You can sign up for a free trial or demo on the spot. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Raelynn Goodrum. She's the head of HR at SurePrep. And today we're going to discuss why HR needs to put their mask on first. Raelynn, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so hyped right now. I feel like I should be wearing my athleisure and, you know, hitting some punching bags. This is really good energy.
The Lulus, Athleta, the Target brand, whatever it is.
Let's pull it out.
Boxing gloves. People know, I think I've said it on the show before, that I'm an avid boxer. So yeah, let's pull out the gloves. Let's make it happen.
Okay. Challenge accepted. Let's do this.
So thank you so much for participating on our show. We really appreciate it. And so we're going to kick this thing off the way we know, actually the way we think is the best way, and no one has complained to this date. So we're going to ask you, Raelynn, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh, my origin story is just so unique. I'm being totally sarcastic. You know, the field of HR wasn't something that I was looking forward to. I interned at a law firm at a pretty young age, and I thought, I really want to study law, but this is going to be very, very, very difficult. So I went through the gamut of careers, marketing, communication. And when I was finally offered a coordinator HR assistant position, I fell into it and then fell in love with it because I still had the ability to practice a little bit of marketing and engagement, but then really focus on law and changes and curating policies for a company. So that's kind of how I just fell into it. My origin story, of course, is not unique by any means, but it's a very important story to me. And I think that the beginning of my journey in HR is really how it's ending or developing now. So maybe 10 years later, I am applying for law school and I am going for my executive JD, and I'm going to continue to practice law and HR for the rest of my career. So it really just all tied together for me.
I first must say, I love the way you said your origin story, because it sounds like I'm interviewing a superhero, which all HR people are superheroes. So I appreciate that. And I think I might even change the question too. So tell me your HR superhero origin story.
There you go.
Because that just sounds so much better than my question. So I love that. I love that. All right. So let's get back to the topic. And the topic today is why HR needs to put their mask on first. So this has been a, I don't know if it's a meme, a cliche, if it's just something people say, but first let's break down, what does that mean to put your mask on first for all the people who have never heard that saying or that term before?
Yeah, so mask on, your game face. It could be your poker face. It could be your strategy, your war room face. But this is your preparation. I'm ready to go. You know, I'm in the locker room with my boys. We're huddled up. We're getting ready to to do the game, that's the face that you put on before you go into the game or the battle or whatever it is that you're going to do, however you're going to execute. And so that's what it means to me and a few other sports fans, I guess. But really, how it ties into 2020 is that, you know, once you leave the house, you've got to put your mask on anyways. So there's really, you know, there's a metaphor behind it, but then there's also that physical behind it. And I think it was really important during COVID-19 for HR to show everyone how we are going to practice health and safety by preparing ourselves, you know, washing of the hands, putting on our face masks, social distancing. And so really being the people to practice it first, whether it was in our personal lives or at work, and then, you know, introducing these new methods to people after practicing.
Awesome. Awesome. So when most people are saying, you know, I have to put my mask on first, or you have to put your mask on first, as you mentioned, people are talking about taking care of yourself before you can take care of anyone else. And the most popular example is when you're on a plane and the stewardess or the, you know, the flight attendant will say, if something were to ever happen, Adele, put your mask on first before you help the kid or whoever else you can help. And so I would like to transition this to HR. And if HR is in this place now, especially in 2020, where they have to help the workforce, how does HR put their mask on first and take care of themselves before they can take care of everybody else?
First, the analogy was perfect. I use that often during our safety training. You know, we ask people to exit the building first, you know, try to grab as many people as you can in your area, try to alert as many people as you can while you're on your way out the door. If there is an emergency situation, you've got to get to safety first. We have systems set in place to get everybody else out of the building, but we need you to get to a safe location first. And the more people we can get there, the better. So thank you so much for that analogy, being on the airplane, covering your face first and then helping anyone else. That ties directly into wellness and how I practice self-care and really self-love. And I know that this is, you know, kind of like a new age, very 2020 way of going about HR, but I really want to encourage more HR professionals, executives, managers, supervisors to begin practicing taking care of themselves before they get to work. What that means to me is checking off your boxes. I go through, you know, kind of like a very simple program in the morning. I wake up and I meditate. I take my dog on a fairly long walk. And I've got to get my yoga in for at least 30 minutes, eat breakfast, and have coffee. If I do all five of those things, it seems very minimal, but if I do all of those things before I start work, I am optimal Raylan Goodrum. If I fall short of those things, I don't really get on myself about it, but I know that I'm not going to be operating at the 100% HR representative that I know I can be because I didn't care and nurture myself before I poured into other people. And as we know, as HR professionals, we are pouring into people and fixing all day long, and it could be very stressful. And so really starting the day with taking care of ourselves, checking off our own personal boxes of getting things done can really assist us in focusing on our employees and our company for the rest of the day, and then really patting ourselves on the back at the end of the day saying, I did everything I could, and now I can rest. So, yeah. That's what that means to me.
It seems that people are much more likely to actually follow a process or achieve their goals if there's a strategy and if there's a plan. So for those out there who are saying, yeah, Raylan, that sounds great. It's awesome. You walk your dog, you eat your breakfast, blah, blah, blah. You know, life is great, but it's harder than that. And it sounds easy when you just talk about it. What would you say to those people who have been struggling and trying to get to that place where they really are in that self-love, self-care space, and this is something that they can practice consistently versus just doing it once and then falling off?
like most people, my life has not been sunshine and rainbows, okay? It hasn't been easy. And so I love to mentor people and I love to talk to people about, you know, my story and how I've overcome. And I think that that's super important for us to just be as transparent as we can about being in places where we couldn't really love on ourselves or we felt like we were unloved and then coming out of that. And so I would just encourage people to know that, you know, I haven't always been like this. it's been a long time coming, and I've developed this this self-care method from being in such, you know, dark or unknowing places, right? So there were times even in my HR career where issues would happen or things would arise and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle the situation. I want to go stick my head in the sand and not think about it anymore. And so I think we all have those times in our life where we're just uncertain. And I have definitely been there. That's really where I come from. And I'm just like a diamond. You know, I have become the beautiful, sparkling me from being under so much pressure. So I really encourage you, you know, if you're curious, if you're listening to this and you want to send me a private message on LinkedIn, I'd be more than happy to share with you the places that I come from and how I managed to get out of that space. I just want to encourage you that in three years from now, things can be dramatically different, or in 3 years from now, things can be the same. Either way, it's going to be 3 years from now. So it's really up to you to decide how you're going to navigate your future. And that's what I had to instill in myself.
You're killing it right now with the metaphors. The sparkling diamond from the pressure. I absolutely love that. And you're making this so much more interesting than I could have. So thank you so much.
Thanks for that.
I appreciate it. Okay, so you were on this journey and you've been through some things and now you've transitioned to a place where you're really focusing on self-care and self-love. How does an HR leader get to a place like that, knowing that they're constantly in this place of taking in everyone else's emotions and issues and personal and professional challenges? And an even bigger question is, should HR put boundaries around those conversations and what they're willing to actually take in on an emotional level from their employees to have some self-care? And is that a form of practicing self-care?
Yeah, so I think the HR way to answer this question is absolutely put boundaries on. Don't let people in. Don't get close to your coworkers and your colleagues. Don't let them see who you are. I know that that method doesn't work. However, I understand the strategy behind it. I think it's really important to read the room and know who you're speaking with, and then do your best to be as authentic as you can. And I know that that could be difficult because sometimes being authentic could be a little bit vulnerable. However, I have experienced in my career that the more authentic I am with whoever I'm speaking with, whether this is a non-exempt, you know, hourly employee who maybe joined the company 6 months ago, or if this is an executive who's been with the company for 15 years, the more vulnerable and open I am about receiving the information that they're giving to me and looking for a solution that's going to work for everyone, the better off we are as a business. And, you know, I think that for us in HR, we have to hold ourselves to a high standard of ethics and practice that on a regular basis. And through that, we can really begin to share our practices and our methods and how that works with everyone else, if that makes sense. So I do think that there is a time and place to have more intricate, complex conversations with our employees. And I do think there's a time and place to have those boundaries to really say, you know what, today we're actually just going to focus on revamping this policy, and that's going to be the focus. And maybe on a Friday afternoon, we can talk about how we used to play varsity basketball in high school, right? Like, I think that there's a time and place. So again, going back to reading the room, knowing your audience, really identifying what the need is in that situation is really going to steer you in the right direction. But we all have our gut, And I think that you should trust your gut and just kind of go from there.
In the spirit of our topic of putting your mask on first and taking care of yourself in order to take care of others, how do you get to a place where you feel okay to do that? Because as I've interviewed other HR leaders, especially in the heart of COVID, one of the things that they kept consistently saying was that they would feel bad about taking off any days or any time because it seemed like the whole house was on fire, and not just the kitchen or the bathroom, but the whole house. And they really couldn't figure out where to pour water. And if they ever took a second off of Zoom or they didn't respond to any employee issue as quickly as they possibly could, then they felt like they were letting someone down, which was hurting their self-care because it was just making them even more stressed and then putting them in less of a position to actually take care of others. So how do you get to a place where you say, you know what? I know the whole house is on fire, but it might just need to burn just a little bit for me to get myself together so that I can even carry more water to put out more fires, if we're playing with these metaphors.
Yeah. So interesting that you bring that up. There was a time recently during COVID-19 where there were many emergency situations that took place. Our facility, actually, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm saying it. It flooded at some point during COVID-19. We had a night where we had everyone come into the office and take supplies, right? Because we're a tech company. So we were gathering computers and kind of, you know, trying to organize as much as possible. We had a couple of weekends where we had to figure out some safety measures that we had to put on our building. And so through the past 6 months, there have been physical, like fires, equivalent to fires at my company. And for me, I think it's extremely important to, you know, to allow yourself to take time off as an HR professional, but then also know when it's time to roll up your sleeves and maybe know that you're not going to get that much sleep that night, and that's okay. I know that, you know, the night that I was talking about where we kind of came in and we moved a bunch of hardware out of our building, myself and my coordinator, who is amazing, she stayed with me until 1 o'clock in the morning, along with our CEO and our COO and our director of IT. We were all there until really early in the morning, just making sure that we had everything that we needed to send our workforce home to work from home. And I, you know, I told my coordinator, I said, you know, go home and I'll see you tomorrow afternoon. And she's like, well, we have a meeting tomorrow morning. And I'm like, nope, I will see you tomorrow afternoon when I see you. Get some rest, eat some breakfast, take care of yourself. We have done a great job today. And you know, you need to go take care of yourself and your family. And so myself as a leader and the way that I am with my team, I'm very trusting. But I also know that, you know, if you're going to give 110%, you need to rest up just as much. And so for people who are kind of struggling and navigating where their boundaries are at with their work, you know, I think you just need to carve out that time to take care of yourself eventually, right? So maybe it's like 2 weeks of hard work and implementation and really pushing a project through. And then it's maybe a 3-day weekend for yourself, or maybe even a 4-day weekend for yourself where, you know, your phone is only on, you know, emergency, do not disturb, meaning only a few people can get in touch with you if need be. And then, you know, spending time with yourself, whether that's painting or binging Netflix or, you know, going to the golf course or whatever it is that you do. I think it's really important for you to schedule that time out and really take that time to focus on you. Because if you don't focus on you, yes, you're going to be letting, you know, your team down if you do, but you're going to be letting yourself down if you don't focus on you, and you're going to be letting your family down. And in the long run, we know that there's no payoff in that, right? Like there's stress, there's dehydration, there's malnutrition, insomnia arises, and many other issues arise in your body, within your system, if you don't take care of yourself. So you've got to carve out the time and make it happen. Otherwise, you'll really be hurting yourself in the future.
That was awesome. One thing I'll plug in, I actually took an extended weekend 2 weeks ago, and I came back Monday afternoon. So it was Friday afternoon to Monday afternoon. And it was the worst decision ever. Because when I came back right into work. And so I told my wife, moving forward, the next time I take off and moving forward, I'm going to take off during the week so that when I come back, it's the weekend and I have time to gradually get back.
That's it. Yep. I'm glad that you figured that one out. I think a lot of us do that. We're like, okay, I'm going to hit the ground running on a Monday. And it's like, well, you could do that, you know.
Right, right. You know, terrible
that having that preparation evening, you know, Sunday nights are my prep nights for work. So having that like kind of ease in transition back into work is really, really beneficial. So I definitely let people know yourself, you know your workforce and try to take breaks accordingly. If you know that Mondays are very pressing days and you're going to need to be there in the office for 13 hours that day, you know, maybe settling in or out of your vacation on a Sunday might be the strategy or way to go.
Raylan, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest, and especially for helping our HR community in general put themselves in a position where they feel comfortable enough to prioritize self-care and self-love to ultimately help all the companies and the workforce across the country and across the world. So thank you so much for all of that. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So where can people find you and your company online?
Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn, Raylan Goodrum. I think I have some type of handle behind that, but it's just Raylan Goodrum on LinkedIn. And then I work for SurePrep LLC. We're based in Orange County, California. We're a tax automation company. So if you have any questions regarding what we do, go ahead and head to our LinkedIn. And hopefully you'll be hearing from anyone who has any questions soon. Please take care of yourself before you take care of anyone else. And thank you so much, Bruce, for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. You made me sound smart today. So anybody that can do that is A1 with me. But if you enjoyed this podcast as much as Raylan and I did making it, please leave us a 5-star rating because that helps with our self-care and our self-love. It shows that you appreciate us. Also, if this is the very first Employee Cycle podcast interview you've ever heard, and you came here because you're already a super fan of Raylan and just had to hear whatever she had to say, or you thought that this topic was really interesting and you wanted to hear it, but now you're compelled to hear more, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to awesome podcasts. And last but not least, all you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.